Morning. Happy Father's Day. Hey. Happy Father's Day. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Oh, you're ready. Let's go. Your microphone.
Yes.
We're here.
It's a long way, isn't it?
It sure is.
I think it's getting longer every time we do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Every time. We're getting older.
I think so.
Crustier.
Well.
All that. Yeah.
Hey, it's Father's Day. Come on. Yeah, we're here. And
We're supposed to be doing something, I think. These people came here for...
Right.
A reason, yeah.
And?
But I just have to deal with my suitcase.
Again?
Yeah, well, you know.
Every time.
This
no
is
wonder
very...
we're so tired. Got to drag that thing around.
Hey, I'm allowed 50 pounds per piece.
Thank you very much. Yeah, right.
Well, of course, my suitcase is very important to me because it contains, maybe not literally, but pieces of who I am and my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I mean, along with my usual stuff,
it's
you know.
Just as full as ever.
Just as full as ever, of course. That's what women do, right?
Yeah.
And over the years, I've collected, you know, remember my missionary dress?
Yes.
And I had my glasses. I used to have Zwieback in here, but it kind of got old and moldy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then I had my red purse. It's very dear to me. Marcy got a new purse in Thailand, so I thought I should bring my purse, too.
Yeah.
So that's my very special purse. And in my purse,
can we leave it behind this time?
No. No, because there are gospel bracelets in it.
Oh, okay.
They tell the story of Jesus in case I need those. Yeah, and I have another pair of reading glasses now. And I have my passport. Very important for all those countries
don't
I've been in.
That.
No, I won't. I'll be in trouble. I know. And then I have some mangoes for anyone who comes and asks me for one. Later.
Okay.
And I have, what else? Oh, I have some tissue. Because it relates to women everywhere in the world. So that one really helps me bond with other women. And then, it was very hot in the Philippines when we left, so I brought my fan.
Yes.
For anyone who comes later, charity, and asks for it, they can have it. Because this might be a hot summer in Coaldale. However, not so far. So I brought my socks instead.
There we go.
And I almost brought, I wasn't sure if I should bring my Boston or my Chicago jersey, so I just kind of left both of them at home. Because I saw a Vancouver one today.
There you are.
And...
two of them.
And the thing is, I have a picture of my kids because now we have two of our kids here,
yes.
Canada. So I have to have my pictures, right?
Yep.
Right, ladies?
Yep.
And I have a pair of scissors because I'm planning to cut Matt's hair.
Yeah.
And lest he feel unrecognized, I brought my Manila Starbucks mug so I could relate to Pastor Tyler. And if he doesn't have one, you have one?
Okay.
Okay, there you go. So that's just to identify with people, you know? Because people ask questions. They want to know what's in my suitcase.
Right.
They want to know why you have this.
This
is from David Livingston. They don't use those anymore.
I like it.
They don't. Why?
Because, later on I'll explain why I brought this today.
So men...
There's a message.
You should have like a John Deere hat or something like that so you could relate to the people.
Well, yeah, I can't afford a John Deere hat.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so questions about my suitcase and we want to know about your hat.
Mm-hmm.
People are always asking questions.
Right.
Well... Number one, for people who are here and have not met us before, we are with Send International, that little logo up there. And the first slide that you went over. Yes. We are involved in church planting amongst the unreached, to put it concisely. And people always want to know about our family, especially the women. They want to know how many kids you have, how old they are, what they look like. And many of you know Matthew and Lauren. And Aaron is still with us. He's going into grade 11 in high school this next year. Where's my little push button thingy?
I forgot it.
You forgot it?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in my suitcase, right here?
This area, yeah.
Okay. You know, people ask us lots of questions. Do you live in the Philistines? We've had that. Do you live in the Philippians?
Yeah.
We've had that one. And the question we have is very hard to answer is it fun in the Philippines? Well, yes, we think so. And Filipinos have recently come up with a slogan or logo, whatever, for promoting tourism. And they have this all over. It's more fun in the Philippines. So we just have a few ways to show you that, yes, we think it's more fun in the Philippines. And in case you're thinking of raising our support, there you go. Okay? It's not true. We have fun in the Philippines. Of course it's more fun in the Philippines. You can carry anything you want on your motorbike while you drive. And you might meet a creature like that who loves to comb through your hair. Of course it's more fun in the Philippines. You can go to the beach on your days off and become a non-missionary. Blend in with the crowd. Or food in the Philippines is always fun and creatively made.
Yes.
Right, Venli? Yes. However, it's not all just about fun. We have questions about what do you do there, especially for myself as a mom, because my husband is more the one that's out there in front of people. Well, I am like a regular mom, like many of you. But these are some of the things that I do. We want to include in everything we say reasons we have to praise the Lord throughout this. Ako'y magpupuri sa Panginoon. I will praise the Lord. And it becomes at times an I will praise the Lord, a choice that we make. These are the ways in which I am thankful and am praising God today. For us, for 25 years with SEN International, we actually get a special prize this year. For perseverance through times when we had to learn the language and try to become as Filipino as possible, although we never will be. For courage, when the road was bumpy, when changes came and went. For Filipinos who have loved us unconditionally and welcomed us into their country. And for you, our team. You've been our prayer warriors, you've been givers, you've been our friends. And for that reason, we could not stop really giving our heartfelt thanks to you, because without you, we cannot go. And you are a part of what God is doing and has been doing in us in the lives of Filipinos. We praise God for Faith Academy, which is a school where all of our kids have gone to and two have graduated. This is a place where I share a part of my life in being involved in the school. We're built a lot on volunteers because all of the missionaries who come and teach there, all of the staff are there with support. They're not paid. So I'm one of them. I work in the elementary library, and I work with children like these from about 20 different countries, from different parts of the world. And believe it or not, I make bulletin boards. I work with these two ladies. We work with the children, and we do The Hobbit. We do familiar things like Beauty and the Beast. We even talk about Berenstain Bear. And who else is up there? Tigger. I also am involved in a Filipino worship team. It helps me keep up my language. It also helps me with friendships and just getting to know others on a deeper level. We had an opportunity to go on a trip to a church plant as a group to another island. I've told them that they should come here. I'm also thankful for some of the women I've been able to befriend and encourage. These are a group of SEN women that I work with, another group of friends. Some of them I pray with individually for our own mutual encouragement. And I've also had an opportunity to accompany in school for the high school chorus. Next in line would be Aaron, and he's thankful for Faith Academy too, whether he likes it or not. He's thankful for, this is not the girl he asked out for, Sadie Hawkins or whatever. This is his band teacher who has built into all of our kids' lives and is leaving the school this year. Thankful for teachers. thankful for hallways that Aaron can walk down and learn and be prepared for the day he returns to Canada. Thankful for ways in which he can use his gifts. He helped to create the silverware and the plates for Beauty and the Beast. He's also helping with sets, building things like these. Opportunities for him to use his volume for Gaston, if you recognize Gaston and the scene there. Also using his art skills. These are the many faces of Aaron. And choir, which has been a great opportunity for him to learn about music. Thankful for those. We're thankful for Lauren and for the opportunity she's had to be involved in the LPN program in at Prairie. She will be back this week. Thankful also for Matthew and for his 3 years at the U of L and for God, for what God has done through those hallways of his life.
I don't need it. Yeah, that's given quite a outline of a lot of what we have done. But I would like to talk a little bit more about what I have been experiencing these last couple of years. And I brought this hat this morning because I want to tell a little story. 1990 is when we left for the Philippines. And at that time, I thought God was going to call me to be a pioneer church planter. So this is my pioneer hat. And I thought for the rest of my life, I would be a pioneer church planter. And God gave me, gave Joyce and I, many years of experience in church planting. Planting in Cabanatuan City in the Philippines, 14 years. Training church planters throughout the northern part of the Philippines. And now, God has asked us to make a shift. And these last 2 years, I have been learning to take off my pioneer church planting hat and learning to pass this hat on to the new generation. A new generation of church planters. Not just any church planters. These are Filipino church planters. We are in the process of sending them out from the Philippines to different areas throughout Asia, through Eastern Europe, the Middle East, different places, to plant churches. And I am passing this on like a baton to them. That is one of the challenges that God has said, no, I want you to be, use your experience, use what you have learned, use your Tagalog, use your knowledge of Philippine culture to plant, prepare Filipinos to go out into the harvest field. We are working at mobilizing the Philippine church. The church in the Philippines has grown so quickly. And there are many, many churches, big churches, mega churches, small churches, throughout the Philippines. You can go to almost any village, town, and find an evangelical church. And so that is so exciting for us. But we want to take them to the next level. We want to see them participate in taking the gospel to other places where the unreached peoples of the world are. And most of the, many of those peoples are in Asia. And so Filipinos are perfect. They work great in those settings. These are the, this is the leadership team I work with in the Philippines. We call ourselves the executive team, and we are the ones that work in our sending office, challenging Filipinos to go out to prepare to be missionaries, cross-cultural missionaries. Next. Okay. This is what excites my soul. This is a commissioning service for a Filipina, a young lady, who had the call to go and reach out to Muslims. And she has been called and sent out. She is presently in Central Asia, learning the language and preparing to share the gospel there. How exciting it was to be part of this commissioning service and see their church gain the vision to send her out. Next. This is a group of Filipino missionaries that we sent out a year and a half ago. They were in our member orientation program. We trained them, we challenged them about what it means to be a cross-cultural missionary. And it was exciting to see them take that challenge to be obedient to the call of God. Next. Here I am training in this member orientation program. We want our missionaries to be well-trained, well-prepared as they go. Crossing a culture, going into new culture is not easy. It's a challenge. It's difficult. Taking the gospel there, they'll find opposition, difficulties, and we want them to be well-prepared.
Okay. So, just going on to pray for us this summer. As we visit churches, families, and friends for our safety, health, connections, and freshness. Additional financial partners to join our team. It's very interesting, as life goes on, so do dear ones go on to heaven, including our own family members. And this past year, there have been 6 of our supporters who have had a promotion to glory. And so we see that difference not in those who pray for us, but also on our financial team. So we find ourselves about $500 a month short. Very thankful for those folks who've been a part of it. And just if there is anyone here, you know, who feels that God is asking you to do that, you'd like to be involved in ministry there, many of you are already, just come and let us know. And we have a form that you can use to express your interest. Also, please pray for a summer job for Lauren. She gets out of school a bit late. We've been praying for that, whether God will say yes or no, that we would just have an answer this week. She has a very big final exam tomorrow. If you would remember her in the morning, anywhere from 9 to 12, I know she'd be grateful. She's still up in Three Hills. And then for Matt at work, he's working at Canadian Tire for his testimony and for his light to shine there. Also for transitions within our leadership and missionaries, Filipino missionaries that are back in their home country. So those are just 5 basic prayer requests. Even if you remember one, that's okay. Or just generally is fine also.
Yes, this is our Send Philippines family that we work with. The office started out with our director and his wife and one secretary, and it has grown. And with growth comes challenges, growing pains sometimes. But they have been a wonderful group to work with, and God is using us to mobilize the church, challenge the church in the Philippines to take that good news that they have received and take it to where people have never heard or never had a chance to hear the good news.
They are pointing at you to say thank you and also to ask you for your prayers for them and us in the Philippines.
Okay, just a little about our plans. Many have asked, how long will we be here? Well, we're here only for 6 weeks in Canada. And this is our itinerary. We'll be here in the Coaldale area till the 22nd. Then we go up to Calgary and head off toward BC. We'll be there for a couple of weeks. And then we'll be back here in Coaldale around the 9th until we fly on the 23rd. So on the July 23rd, we return back to the Philippines and back to the ministry that God has called us to. So we're just thankful that we have this opportunity to be here and to meet so many of you and say thank you. Okay.
Maraming salamat po sa inyong lahat. That was supposed to be together.
Oh.
Again.
Maraming salamat po sa inyong lahat.
Many thanks to all of you.
Okay. I'm going to move this a little bit closer here. Yep.
Next one?
Yep. Okay. This morning I want to share a little bit with you about something that God has been teaching me and something that I have been challenged to share with many of these new missionaries that are going out. As I shared, we want to see these missionaries go fully prepared for cross-cultural ministry. We make sure that they have proper theological training, language learning training, ministry skills training, etc. But the most important role I see is my role of challenging new missionaries about their relationship with God. And some of you may look at me and say, well, missionaries are usually pretty strong spiritually. They're sometimes put on a pedestal. They're looked up to as the giants of the faith. My experience has been that we are not that. We are very normal people. We have our flaws, and we also struggle sometimes spiritually. And it's a very common thing for us as believers, followers of Jesus, to neglect our walk with God. And I appreciated the songs this morning that were sung, challenging us to remember our Savior and continue to grow in our relationship with Him. So often we can major on the minors. We think these are the major things, but they are actually the minor things. The challenge, I often find, is a quote that I heard once, and someone said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's the title of my message this morning, the main thing. Okay, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And this morning I want to talk a little bit what that main thing is. This world is so full of distractions that it's easy to lose our focus on the main thing. Let's listen to the testimony of some of God's saints. Job, from the Bible. Job was a person that, wow, people looked up to him, and the Bible says there was nobody like him. You know, he was an awesome representative, a godly man, and a godly father. But this is his testimony, and toward the end of Job, he said, my ears had heard of you, speaking to God, but now my eyes have seen you. His experience went to a totally different level. He had heard about God, and now he experienced God in a totally different way. He had grown deep, deep, much deeper in his walk with God. How about more of a modern representative? Billy Graham. This is what he says about intimacy with God. Toward the end of his book, Just As I Am, he expressed regret that he had not spent more time communing with his Lord. Now, we know that Billy Graham is, people look up to him as many, many thousands and perhaps millions of people have come to know the Lord, made a decision to follow Christ because of him. He's a great evangelist. He said, if I had to do it all over again, he said he would spend more time in spiritual nurture, seeking to grow closer to God so that I could become more like Christ. I don't know how many evangelistic events he spoke at and how many people came to know Christ. But he said, if I had to do it over again, I would spend more time alone with God, seeking to feed myself, growing closer to God, getting to know Him better. Let's look at another one. Bill Bright, he's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, working on campuses, bringing students to Christ. When asked, he said, in hindsight, would you have done anything differently? I believe Bill Bright has gone to be with the Lord now. But this is what he said. If I had to live my life over, I would have concentrated on getting to know God better and love Him more and trust Him more. Wow, these are saints that I believe Billy Graham is 90 plus years old. Bill Bright was 78 when he said this. And they look back. In spite of all they've done for God, they said, I wished I would have spent more time with Christ, reading my Bible, communing with Him, getting to know Him better. Another one, Chuck Swindoll. We all know Chuck Swindoll. We hear him on the radio. During a break he had from ministry, he took a look with new eyes at ministry and the church. His appraisal of people in the church led him to a growing concern over the busyness of so many in the churches. According to him, the problem is, and this is what he says, a lack of intimacy. Pure and simple, that best defines the problem. An absence of intimacy with the Almighty. Involvements, yes, but not intimacy. Activities and programs aplenty, but not intimacy. And I find that very, very common problem, even among missionaries. We are very active. We're involved in sharing the gospel. We're leading Bible studies. We're worshiping, leading worship. We're teaching. But sometimes we neglect our own spiritual walk with God. And that has been the challenge for me. And this is a challenge that I have for these new missionaries that are going out. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix our eyes upon Jesus, the perfecter of our faith." Let's fix our eyes on God. Let's develop our relationship to Him. They were taken up. Okay, let's look at the apostles. And we're going to be reading the verses about them in a little while. But let's look back at the apostles. They were taken up with Jesus. Why? Here's a few reasons. The more they witnessed and experienced God's goodness and love, the more they wanted to follow Christ. Okay? Their relationship, the intimacy was growing, and the more they wanted to follow Him. They watched Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They heard Him tell parables. They heard Him tell stories. They heard Him rebuke the Pharisees. They talked about Jesus among themselves. They imitated Jesus. They wanted to be like Him. And ultimately, they came to worship Jesus. They came to realize who Jesus really was. And they worshiped Him. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, let's read from Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. And you could follow up on the screen if you'd like. I'll be reading here. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed Him. This is the calling of the first disciples. And often we think of their calling to serve. This is the verses that are often referred to as the call to serve God, to serve Christ. But this calling is more than just service. Let's take a closer look at this. First of all, Jesus said, "Come." Come, that's an invitation. He says, "Come to them," those two men. Those two fishermen, "Come to me." An invitation to be with Him. Secondly, He said, "Follow me." And this is a command. He says, to be with Christ. Come, follow me. So why would they want to follow Him? Why does a disciple follow the Master? The disciple follows the Master so that he can become like the Master. And that's part of the call, to be like the Master, to be like Christ. And He says, "I will make you." Now He said, "fishers of men." But it's a calling. It's a calling to serve God. God is calling to us as well. "I will make you." What will He make us? Well, it may depend on what God's plan is for each one of us. Notice the progression. be with Christ, become like Christ, and serve for Christ. Step one, of course, is in our spiritual journey is when we accept Christ. This deals with our salvation, and that's very clear in John 1, verse 12, about receiving Christ. The next step is to be with Christ. He says, come. In Mark 3, 14, it says, he appointed 12, designated them as apostles, that they might be with him. And that they might be sent out to preach. First of all, that they might be with him. That was God's plan. That was Jesus' desire. In Acts 4:13, we find later in the life of the apostles, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, okay, this is after they had been witnessing in the temple, they had been teaching, and the chief priests were not very happy with that. They were angry with them, in fact. But they noticed something about these apostles. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, maybe some of us could relate to that, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When people observe us, observe you, in the workplace, at home, would they be astonished? Would they say, that guy's been with Jesus. That lady's been with Jesus. That child has been with Jesus. Can they see a difference in us? This deals with our devotion to Christ. And of course, step three is to become like Christ. This deals with our character. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we, who are with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, this reflects back to the Old Testament story about Moses, when he had that experience with God, and his face glowed, and he had to have a veil over his face. That time with Christ transformed him, changed him. He became more and more like God. And then step number four, for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, and this deals with our service to Christ. And that's why Joyce and I have gone to the Philippines, to serve for Christ. It says here that for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. We are not to live for ourselves. We are here to serve Christ, whatever capacity he calls us to. For Joyce and I, that has been a calling to go to the Philippines. And maybe someday someone here will be called to go to a different place to serve as a missionary. But many of you have been called to stay and serve in different capacities to honor God in their lives. With Christ, like Christ, for Christ. It's a progression in which they're connected to each other. Those who spend time in the company of Christ are increasingly shaped into his likeness and will want to offer themselves in service for Christ. Okay, and this is the message I want to challenge these missionaries, these people that are planning to go out. You need to spend that time with Christ. Alex Aronis was a pastor in Manila, Philippines, and he challenged us at one of our missions conference about this, the importance of spending time with Christ, developing that intimacy with him. The problem, many people seek to serve Christ without taking time to get to know him. And that is a big temptation, even on the mission field. I have been guilty of that at times, where I get so busy doing things for Christ that I don't have time for my master. I don't have time to sit and read my Bible, to meditate on it, to talk to him. And that's a dangerous thing. As we are in a battlefield, we need to spend that time with our master. In John 21, Jesus reinstates Peter to ministry after he had failed miserably. But he only reinstated him after he determined his love for Christ. How much do we love Christ? Here's Paul's, I'll read this later. Developing intimacy with God. We got some great entertainment here. Okay. Developing intimacy with Christ. It starts, you accept Christ. The next step is you spend time with Christ. You get to know him. You develop that intimacy with Christ. And as you continue to grow, as you spend time with Christ, you became more and more like your master, more and more like Christ. We change. And that ultimately will lead us to have that desire to serve Christ. We want to be used of God to serve him. The problem is, many people take that shortcut. As soon as they come to Christ, they want to serve him. And that's fine. That's good. But we neglect the time with Christ. As we serve Christ, we sometimes find we are not really like Christ. People notice in us there's something fake about us, or we're not really being a good witness and a good testimony. I remember a lady that I led to Christ, and she was in a worship band up front. And it was at a baptism. And as the band was preparing, as they were playing and getting ready for the service, they began to argue back and forth. And two of the band members became very irate with each other and upset. The sad situation was that I had brought a brand new friend to this service, and he observed this, and he was turned off by their actions, their words, their attitude. They were not like Christ. So sometimes we find that we're not like Christ. We need to go back and spend time with God, with Christ, in our devotions, in our Bible reading, in our prayer, so we become more and more like Christ. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, a great prayer. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul's talking, he wants us to grow and really, really appreciate how much Christ loved us. Sometimes I find myself, I don't really grasp that, or I don't realize how much Christ really loves me and wants to spend that time with me. The question, you know, how do we deepen our love for Christ? And we don't have a lot of time this morning. If we had more time, I would go through a strategy on how to develop that love, that intimacy with Christ. I will just briefly go through it, and then we'll close. According to Alex Aronis, Pastor Alex Aronis, one way is through a process of inner transformation, primarily by meditating on Christ's life, spending time in God's Word. Four types of insights. As you spend time in the Bible, in God's Word, look for the principal insight. What is the main point that God is trying to teach you? Secondly, attachment insight. Look what really attaches or attracts you to God, to Christ. What is that thing that really, boy, Christ is amazing. I just love him more because of what I see in this passage, what I read. An interior insight. What is God pointing at inside? What is he teaching you or me about ourselves? What am I learning? And then finally, a detachment insight. Perhaps there are some things that we need to get rid of. God is saying to us, this is a hindrance to my relationship to you. This is hindering your service to me. And we need to detach. Get rid of it. As missionaries, we often like to talk about the Great Commission. Going out, preaching the gospel, and so we should. We should talk about that. But the important thing is the Great Commandment came first. And the Great Commandment is for us to love the Lord your God. And I will just quickly skip through a bunch of this. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7. And I had in mind this morning, we as fathers, I had in mind the graduates, a great challenge and for us, but also for everyone here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Wow, that was the great commandment in the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God. And this is what I challenge our missionaries as they go out. This is the most important thing. You may not become a super good linguist and learn the language well. You may not be the best preacher or you may not be the best Bible teacher. But this is what I would consider the most important for a servant of God, for anyone who follows after God. Get to know Christ well. Develop this intimacy with him. Because this will lead us to become more like him, and this will lead us to serve for him. What a privilege it has been to challenge these other missionaries. And it's been a privilege now for us to be here this morning. And thank you for your continued support for Joyce and I over these many years. So we just want to praise the Lord and thank you for your goodness to us. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we want to thank you for your word and the way it stirs in our hearts. And I pray even this morning that your Holy Spirit is working and nudging people's hearts to get to know you better. Take that additional time. Make time for you that they will grow in that intimacy. And as a result, they will become more and more like you and have that intense desire to serve for you. Lord, we just commit that to you and pray that you will continue to work in each of our hearts until we are complete. Lord, that the way you have worked in my heart in the past, and I look forward to see how you will work in the future. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.